Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 on the AM side in the DMV. In Richmond, check us out on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. And we're streaming live on the Odyssey app. You can take us on the go wherever you may be with that Odyssey app. You can also watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf Official Heating and Cooling Company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. Running the three-man show today, I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Johnny Cakes Auville. Fridays with Feinstein, that's coming up at 8 o'clock as we talk to the best-selling author. But joining us right now is Joe Beninati, play-by-play man for the Washington Capitals. You can watch him on Monumental Sports Network. What's up, Joe B?
Fridays with Feinstein. Hi, you have to say hi for me to John. I haven't been able to see him, speak with him in quite a while.
All right,
things are good. Things are good.
We can do that for you. Joe, how surprised are you and the locker that you'll be calling Washington Capitals postseason hockey? I mean, it's been a wild season. There have been ups, downs, injuries. There have been, you know, guys that that Spencer Carberry and the coaching staff wish they had on the roster, like Nicklas Backstrom had to basically retire due to health reasons. Kuzi's no longer on the team. It's been a wild year, and I think about a month and a half ago, this team had about a 5 or 6% chance of making the playoffs, but due to Ovi catching fire post All-Star break and Charlie Lindgren's play in net, this team willed itself to the second wild card spot. Very improbable, but it's been a fun, but at times rocky ride.
You hit on a lot of things there, Cakes. Yeah, this is the time of year where hockey fans get ready to watch a lot of great hockey. And I think you said, you know, Locker and I were ready to watch a lot of great hockey, but now the Caps are going to be participating in it. It was unlikely. It was improbable to think about it coming off of, I'd say, Christmas time. There were at least two or three times during this six-month run, this 82-game run, where you thought things might spiral the wrong way and they really might bottom out and be a spectator this time of season. To their credit, and it starts with Spencer at the top and his coaching staff. It starts with the leadership core, those four guys who are still here who have Stanley Cup championship blood in their veins, plus others who really got together and said, hey, we're going to fight. We're not going to go calmly and meekly and just ride it out and see what we can do with regard to draft lottery position. They battled their tails off and found a way, a formula to win close games, rely a bit on a reheated power play, rely a bit on a 30-year-old goalie finding incredible form, rely a bit on perhaps the game's greatest goal scorer of all time finding his touch. This has been there are a lot of storylines to pick at and pull from, but more than anything, guys, I couldn't be more proud of the way they battled. And they had to, because when you look at what the schedule presented them and where they were, most people would have said, yeah, they'll be watching some really good hockey over the next 8 to 10 weeks. And instead, they're participating in the first two, and that's fantastic.
Joe B., can you explain the evolution of Chucky Lindgren? I mean, this guy has been a journeyman up until his time with Washington. He spent time with Montreal and with St. Louis, never had more than 14 starts before he came to Washington. And in the last two seasons, he started 26 and 48 games. And we know that Spencer Carberry has really leaned on him into March and April. You know, I mean, Darcy Kuemper barely came off the bench during that stretch because you have to play your hottest goalie, and that's Ben Lindgren. What's been the secret sauce for him as a 30-year-old goaltender as opposed to him his younger years in the NHL?
He'll tell you, and a lot of people will tell you, that he's always had it in him. And wherever he has been, whether it be Montreal or St. Louis or now in D.C., there have been flashes of what he can bring to the table. He's an amazingly talented, amazingly quick, reflexive goaltender who has, in those past instances, had some great runs where you know, Canadians fans were, wow, what's this guy? But you had Carey Price there. You didn't need another. He was a stopgap. He was a safety valve in those places. And St. Louis, where they were coming off of a cup and they had Binnington. And so here you go. Charlie, we've seen the scouts, the pro scouts have seen something in him wherever he's been. Why don't you come to D.C. and back up a Stanley Cup champion winner in Darcy Kuemper and give the Caps a real good 1-2? And, you know, Charlie, will get you 20, 25 games a season. He did that role. He performed in that role last year and acquitted himself very, very well. And again, showed flashes in times where, wow, this guy's got something. And then all of a sudden this year happens and he's given the opportunity. A new head coach comes in and plays by the rules at the start. But when you think about it, Charlie was always in the forefront. And to Darcy's credit, even after losing his job, Kuemper has been a very good soldier, always comes to the rink with a great attitude and a smile on his face. And it's difficult because there's a prideful athlete there. He's a well-paid Stanley Cup champion netminder who believes he's the number one, but has watched Charlie take the job and run with it. And if you're a team player, you have to admire what your stablemate has done here. And to do it at age 30, it's so unusual because I think he's still refining his technique, guys. He's, like I mentioned, he's a terrific athlete. Everybody's always known his reflexes are extraordinary. That glove hand can steal games for you. It's why we call him the outlaw. But to see him doing the other things that he's been working on with Scott Murray, the goalie coach, he's becoming a more refined technician, not just an amazing speed merchant in the goal with reflexes. He's not just a little girl with a curl. When he's on, he's on. When he's great, he's great. When he's bad, he's bad. He's been more consistently good over these stretches. He's earned the playing time, and now I would say mentally and physically he's exactly where he needs to be going into a Stanley Cup run.
Talking to Joe Beninati, play-by-play voice for the Washington Capitals on Monumental Sports Network. Let's reflect on Carberry and what he did this year. Last season with Lavi, they had a better roster, right? And earned 11 more points this year than last year. We talked about Backe being gone, Cousy being gone. What did Carberry bring to the table that wasn't there last year?
To let TJ Oshie say it to you, JP, it was the right messages at the right time. Spencer is amazingly intense, and you know that when you speak with him. You know that when you're in front of him. You know that especially in losing efforts. After games, if they lose, get out of his way. He's one of those guys who just cannot stand losing. But it's been whatever that he's been saying, whatever that he's been preaching behind closed doors in that dressing room at the right moment. TJ Oshie says it's not just the message, it's the timing of the message. So whatever he's been doing to light a fire at the right time, he's done it. And I think the entire staff deserves credit for it. Kirk, Mitch, Scott, all the way through, Kenny, the skills coach, all the guys, the video coaches, Brett and Emily, they have worked really well together in this first season collectively. They deserve credit for pushing all the right buttons on this team. And I would say, guys, after Kuznetsov left town, so that's the trade deadline, right? After that point, Spencer finally, I think, settled on the way they have to play for them to be competitive and for them to earn their points in the standings and possibly sniff either third place in the Metro or a wild card spot. I would trace it back to the deadline when all of a sudden management, Brian McClellan, has to make decisions and things weren't looking so good at that time. You trade away a veteran defenseman in Edmondson. You trade away a prize free agent for next season in Anthony Mantha, and you move Kuznetsov. And all of a sudden now Washington realizes, hey, this is a 2-1 hockey team. We've got to win games 2-1, 3-2. We cannot get into these run-and-gun type matches. And I think that formula, which they used over the last 2 months, is exactly what you're going to need against a team like New York. With every reason, the Rangers are the prohibitive favorite in this series. They deserve to be. But the Capitals have the right formula to frustrate them. Now the question is, can they frustrate them over 7 games and beat them 4 times?
What kind of factor, you know, you mentioned Laviolette, we all liked him. He's having his sort of first season impact that he seems to have with teams, right? With what he's done with them.
Great point, EB. That's something that's always been Peter.
Right. So my question is, though, he knows, even though the roster's changed quite a bit, actually, in one short year, I feel like, he knows our personnel, I would think, as well as any other opposing coach. Does that give him a bit of an edge?
I know where you're going with that, and I'll counter with the Capitals know his Rangers system better than anybody else because he employed it in Washington over the course of his time here. So they know the exact defensive scheme that Peter likes to employ. It is a taxing 1-3-1, force you to grind it out, dump it in. It's not a pretty game against the Rangers. They want to force turnovers in between those blue lines and create counterattacks. And for the years that Peter was here in D.C., that's pretty much, I don't think he's tinkered with it all that much, although I'm sure the X's and O's people will tell you, yeah, there's some subtle differences, but the Caps know that system just as well as Peter knows Washington's personnel. I think that's a wash. It becomes execution.
Okay.
You know, how well you execute your game plan. And EB, in a 7-game series, this is not like a one-off. It's, you know, it's not the Super Bowl. It's not one game to advance. So there are going to be a lot of in-series adjustments that need to be made. This is where the fun happens. This is, I'm sure, what gets coaches off, in that they're going to see one thing and we're going to react to it. And guys, you know, we have a chance to do it in game two. And if we have to react to something new in game three, we'll teach you that too. That's the fun part of this over a best of seven. It's who executes the best. But from a talent, line by line, item by item standpoint, sure, most people are going to look at the Rangers and a President's Trophy winning season, a franchise record point season. They've been awesome. I mean, I've called them a locomotive. They are really especially well built for this, and they're motivated because they flamed out early last year.
Joe B., what has gotten into the bread man, Artemi Panarin? I mean, he's put up really good numbers throughout his career, but in his age 32 season, he must love playing for Coach Lavs because he scored 49, had 71 helpers. He jumped from 92 points last year to 120 this year. So the Caps clearly have a bullseye on trying to keep him contained throughout this series. What has gotten into him as far as that basically 30-point jump in one season?
I'll tell you what gets into him. The games where he went pointless in 6 games against the Devils in the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had 2 assists, the entirety of 2 assists in the 7 games against New Jersey. That fueled the fire. Obviously, the pressures of playing in New York in that big market and the way that team is constructed, they're put together to try and compete for a championship, not for a first-round exit. I think that, I'm sure, that had a little bit of the motivation behind what he produced this year. He's a fabulous talent. It's amazing to watch him work on a team, a New York team that's really big. He's not overwhelmingly big. He's amazingly skilled. His game is big. If the Caps take too many penalties in this series, Panarin, Zibanejad, et cetera, Fox, that power play for New York, the special teams for New York, both sides, very, very good. But I think motivationally, he was pushed by, damn it, they didn't get it done last year, and everybody's going to circle me because the Devils were able to keep him off the board, I think, in 6 of the 7 games, which is unimaginable at times considering his talent. He can stop on a dime. He can create plays with when you look like there's no space. You've got him doubled. There's no room. He creates something. His shot is very, very good. Not as good as Zibanejad's, but it's especially good. And he's a playmaker. It's vision. It's the sight lines. It's all the things that encompass an outstanding and elite-level talent. I mean, when the NHL, you know, brandishes its top stars, always it's McKinnon and McDavid and the like, Kucherov, et cetera. Panarin's right there. He's right at that level, just not as well-known.
Joe, do any other playoff teams have a backup goalie with 18 wins like the Rangers do with Jonathan Quick? I mean, they've got Igor already, who's all, you know, one of the young studs in the league. But Jonathan Quick, in 27 games played, has 18 wins. And their numbers, goals against, and save percentage, almost identical.
Isn't it interesting, Cakes, that the backup goalies in this series mm-hmm. have Stanley Cup resumes?
Yep.
Darcy's won a cup. Jonathan won 2 in L.A. Another one I want to say is a backup in Vegas. You know, Jonathan is in a business where I'm not supposed to have a favorite and favorite players. He's for a long time been one of my favorites. The way he performed in Los Angeles, the old goalie in me just looks at him and goes, wow. But he'll be an afterthought. If the Rangers do what they're supposed to do, he's an afterthought. Shesterkin is just that good. And in the prime of his career at 28, and another guy who feels the pressure of bringing New York to where they want to be. I think both of those guys are outstanding. They pushed each other this year. And yes, to see Jonathan have the bounce back year that he did, I want to say he's their Masterton Trophy nominee for perseverance and dedication and such. I may be wrong there, but it wouldn't surprise me if he was, because he had such a strong bounce back season. There are a lot of people who said about Jonathan Quick at age 38, it's time, Jonathan. Instead, he flourished behind a really good Rangers team that defends very well and that can produce goals. So, yeah, they have a two-pronged goalie attack there that's really strong. But if they get their druthers, they'll only be 31, and they'll be screaming Igor inside of MSG.
Joe B., I'm going to put you on the spot here. Mm. I gave my percent likelihood that the Caps win this series. It was 48%. EB was at 30%, I believe.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Cakes, maybe 35.
No, I was at 20%.
You were at 20%.
Yeah.
What is Joe B's percent chance that the Caps win this series?
Well, you guys are really ambitious, and I like that, and I wish and hope that that comes to fruition. Most of the people who are going to look and try to handicap this are going to say Rangers in 5 or less.
Wow.
I think they can push this. I know the regular season is not the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Caps played the Rangers well in the regular season. Charlie Lindgren performed well against the Rangers in the regular season. If you're going to say, you know, you guys are in the 20s, 30s, and 40% chances, I think that's terrific. That's the puncher's chance that Washington needs. That's exactly what you want.
But you don't think that.
I don't know that it's accurate. I mean, you can't sit there until we see things play out, guys. I don't know, because I want to watch the first couple of periods or watch that first game and go, geez, you know, Washington's right there with them. Or, woof, that was a Ranger performance that we expect. I just think that from a handicapping standpoint, everybody's going to sit there and go 5 or less. I think it'll be longer than that. I think the Caps will push it into a deep series. Historically, the Caps and Rangers always play long series, but historically, you haven't been going up as an 8 seed against a President's Trophy winner. I will give Washington a 35% chance to win the series.
Ooh, he's right there with us.
I like
right.
it. I like that, Joe B.
All right, I like it.
Yeah, 35%.
All right, yeah, I think he's reacting to your 48%, which is insane.
48's amazingly ambitious, but I love it. I love
look, Lindgren, what I'm pointing to, Lindgren was 2-1 against him and yes. only allowed 3 goals in 3 games.
Yes. Different. The playoffs are different, EB, and are different, Cakes mm-hmm. and JP, because of commitment to defense, which I think favors Washington, even though the Rangers have a great defense and have an incredibly strong offensive supporting cast. The Caps have been playing playoff hockey for 6 weeks now, blocking shots, sacrificing all the effort along the boards. if the Caps are going to even approach the Rangers in this series, they have to frustrate them. They have to make this a slog. They have to be awfully difficult to play against. They have to be physical without taking penalties. You put the Rangers on the power play too much, you're playing with fire. But you have to frustrate them. You have to make it a miserable existence for them. If the Rangers breeze up and down the ice, it's going to be hard to beat them.
Joe B., appreciate the insight as always. And
have a great call.
Have a great call. And look, hopefully after game one, we'll be saying it's a 58% chance that they win.
Hey, big That'd swings. Be, big swings.
It'd be great. Go in there early and steal home ice advantage early. That's the best way to do it. In fact, the best way to do it is Sunday in game one. Surprise them, punch them in the nose, and then roll with the punches after that. That's the best way to do it.
Yep.
Thank you, Joe B.
Thank you, buddy.
Guys, my pleasure. We'll talk soon.
Yep, okay.
That's Joe Beninati on the BetQL Guest Hotline. John Feinstein will join us coming up at 8.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
8 o'clock. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Just 6 days out from the NFL draft. Yes, next Thursday. All the speculation will be over. I almost want them to pick like Michael Penix just to be like the curveball.
I don't think they can do it from a value standpoint, but I would love it because I think his skill set is awesome.
But they think he's the second best quarterback.
I don't think they do.
No.
But
he's
I
not
do
the
think,
pick of two. Like, if they were to pick him,
but that would be a statement like Adam Peters saying, you can't read my mind. This is who we're going with.
No, but
it
I
would
think
be an outside of the box selection.
It would just
there's
be
no
a,
doubt.
Honestly, it would be a bad pick at two because they could get him later.
Let's get into some of the clips. So Adam Peters spoke and his assistant GM spoke yesterday.
Lance Newmark.
Yeah.
And he talked about several things from all of their draft picks to specifically number two and whether they'd be willing to trade back. Let's just go through these in order, Valdez. This is Peters and Newmark talking about having six picks in the top 100.
Yeah, coming into this, we've been really fortunate to have six picks in the top 100, like you said. That's a big deal. And especially, I mean, having the number, it's not just six picks in the top 100, it's the number two overall pick, and then really high second round picks, and then three third rounds. So that's a lot that we can do with that. It can really help us. We've done, like Lance has done a really good job in free agency, we all have, and now we have a chance to really supplement that and now build through this draft and with these nine picks that we have. And so, no, we're really fortunate to have that, and I think we have a real chance to make this team a lot better.
Classy move, too, for Peters before the presser started to mention all of the scouts by name for all of the hard work and hours they're grinding.
He went through the entire like football operations department.
Pretty cool of him.
He's a really decent guy.
Yeah.
I know he may be, you never know. I mean, I thought OJ was a nice guy. He could be a nightmare.
Right.
But
he appears to be
a really genuine, sweet guy.
Yes.
Someone you'd really like to work for. I'm sure you have to be good at your job. I'm sure he's very demanding.
Definitely.
But he seems like a very good guy.
So they've got six picks in top 100, and he mentions the two high picks in the second round. I heard Jordan Reed on He's an ESPN analyst.
Nice.
Not Jordan Reed, the tight end.
Oh,
different guy.
Jordan Reed?
Different Jordan Reed.
Different guy. All right.
I'm gonna double check his name. But
doesn't matter.
He was on with Grant and Danny, and he has said this before. He puts out mock drafts. He said it's an open secret that the Commanders are likely to move up into the first round of the draft to get an offensive lineman.
Because I think if you look at the trade value chart, if you combine picks 36 and 40, you can land like the 23rd pick in the first round.
I'd love it.
If there's a tackle there or a wideout there, less likely for wideout because it's a pretty deep draft for wideouts. But if there's a left tackle there that he loves, he doesn't think it's going to get to him at 36. And he just has to deal those two picks and maybe a later pick along with it to move up. I wouldn't be shocked if they did that.
No, I wouldn't be shocked.
Even though I think this organization is more about acquiring more capital instead of parting with it. But it depends on how much they like the player.
Well, I like they also said, you know, Newmark actually said in that presser last night, because I watched it before I went to bed. It's probably why I'm so freaking tired. I kept watching YouTube videos. I watched it, and he talked about how, you know, he's worked with organizations before that have been wedded in one philosophy versus another. And specifically, he was talking about, like, say, free agency or built through the draft. And he goes, it really has to be a blend, and that's what they've tried to do here. So I'm sure that they do have a sort of overall philosophy of liking to acquire picks, but they're flexible. They want to go up or down, whatever it takes. And I think that's what they insinuate.
That dude Newmark must be good, because I think he survived, like, four different coaching regimes in Detroit.
Yeah.
Like, he was in Detroit for a long time. You see a lot of upheaval, a lot of different guys come through that building.
I don't think that that's entirely uncommon. Like, my buddy who works in the NFL that is basically an assistant GM, he has been with his organization for 20 years.
Right.
And they've mowed through some coaches.
Sure. Right. Absolutely.
The quote on Grant and Danny
from Jordan
Reed. I think
when you're under the radar, it's a little easier to survive.
Yeah, the quote from Jordan Reed was, "I think this is the worst kept secret in the draft right now, is the Commanders trading up from 36 or 40 to get an offensive tackle."
I mean, I think that makes sense. But also remember last year, was it last year? I think it was last year. Yeah, that they wanted to grab a tackle. Everyone knew it. But there was a run on tackles. And so then they had to pivot. And that's when we ended up with Forbes.
Right.
Right or wrong. I'm not giving up on Forbes. In fact, I feel like Forbes finished the season strong.
Are you intrigued by potentially having the Paul brothers? I know there's Logan Paul and Jake Paul.
Chris Paul's brother.
But Chris Paul's brother is a top offensive line prospect.
Very few offensive linemen have ever excited me.
Paul's younger brother, Patrick, is big dude, 6'7".
Yeah.
Play, and he's supposedly a first-round prospect for the Houston Cougars.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I trust him. Just get a big fat guy that you believe in. I trust you. You know,
he's listed at 6. I mean, from the site I'm looking at, 6'8", 331 pounds, and he ran a 40 in 5.13 seconds.
Seems pretty fast for a big dude.
For a dude that's the size of a mountain to run a 40 that quick. It's pretty crazy.
That sounds like elite foot speed.
I would think.
By the way, I mentioned this last week. So Isabella had her second track meet this week, and I watched a girl in the next age group, so a little bit older. Isabella's only 7. So this girl's probably 10.
Right.
She ran a mile in under 6 minutes. I mean, crazy. It's just unbelievable.
It's called youth. The blessing of youth, JP.
10 years old, cranking out a mile.
Good for her.
In like five, I think she just beat.
Well, the thing is, it's really impressive. It's just probably how little her legs are. Or is she a tall kid?
She's 10.
But she's not like tall for her age or anything. She's an average
10
year old.
I don't have the size chart.
It's pretty amazing, you know, those little legs.
Yeah. I just couldn't believe it. I was just sitting there with my son, and I was like, this girl would school us. Like, you stand next to her and she's a little tot.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's just freaking amazing. All right, let's play clip number two. Adam Peters was asked about whether they've come to a final decision yet.
Yeah, we're real close. There's still a few more things in the process we have to do. And as you guys may be getting, I'm pretty process-driven, process-oriented. So we have to debrief on our 30 visits with the whole staff, talk about everybody there that we haven't done that yet. And then
Later tonight, we have a medical meeting as well to go over all the medicals in the combine and get that information as well, and just ask pointed questions if there are any on certain players, if we have some questions on that. So we have a few more things. DQ and I will huddle up and probably have an answer really sometime next week. Now, I will say this also, you know, you don't really need to make a decision until you need to make a decision. So there's no rush with that. But I think we'll have a pretty good idea what we're doing early next week.
I mean, if you think about it, man, the pressure these guys, they don't show it. And I think they allude to it at one point. They go, do we look stressed?
Right.
They don't look stressed, but literally this choice single-handedly determines at least the next 4 or 5 years the trajectory of this football team.
It pretty much determines, as he called him, DQ, Dan Quinn's fate as the head coach of the Commanders.
Certainly does.
If they make the right pick and it's a franchise quarterback that's here for a dozen years, Dan Quinn will coach here for
a long time,
9 or 10 years. If the quarterback stinks and falls on his face and Dan Quinn has 2 or 3 losing seasons, he's probably out.
You hope
you're looking for the next guy.
You kind of hope it's the 2020 NFL draft versus right. the 2021. So in 2021, Trevor Lawrence gets drafted, mm-hmm. and then 4 more quarterbacks go in the first round, and they're all on different teams now. They're backups.
Right.
They are busts. But the year before, it was Joe Burrow. It was Herbert.
Tua.
It was Tua.
Yeah.
Like, not to say that they're equal, because they're not. Joe Burrow is fantastic. Tua, you know, maybe more question marks. But they're all starters, at least. Yeah, you know what I mean? You can work capable, with all of them.
Yeah, they're capable
proven
starting NFL
proven
quarterbacks.
You can win with them.
If not, studs.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What if, so yeah, they have 6 picks in the top 100.
Yeah.
What if Adam hits 5 out of the 6 picks?
But he misses the first
but
one?
But he misses the quarterback.
That really hurts.
Then he's, I mean, they're probably hard. Not going to be successful.
It's going to be hard. The thing is I honestly think all, like,
I know, but like, are you, like, all of a sudden, do you have no more trust in Adam
if you miss
the quarterback?
It would stink if he missed on the quarterback.
It'll hurt him. It'll stain him.
I think he's going to have the opportunity. If
he'll get
he flops,
a second crack.
He'll get to pick the second quarterback if the first one
Coach
doesn't
won't,
work out.
Probably won't get that crack, but he'll get a second crack, as unfair as that
but
may be.
If he misses on both of them, then
but here's
you know,
the thing.
Pack your bags.
I honestly think that part of the reason why these quarterbacks fail is not necessarily because there's some sort of fatal flaw in their games. I think it's fit.
It's environment.
An environment and coaching and nurturing. If Brock Purdy is picked somewhere else, he's not Brock Purdy, right? He had the perfect situation for him.
Definitely a combination. I mean, look, the reality is the first round quarterbacks, it's about a 50% success rate.
So
that is, but I'm not convinced it's because half the players are terrible.
Eric, are you saying that if Ron Rivera had Patrick Mahomes,
he could have ruined them.
The Commanders would have sucked.
I'm saying he could have ruined them. Yes,
he could have, but I would bet on Pat Mahomes' talent.
Yeah,
yeah, but you got to let Pat Mahomes be Pat Mahomes.
Sure.
I mean, who knows? Like, I literally think they harmed Sam Howell. That coaching staff last year harmed him. Hopefully he can
get through
it.
We'll see how it plays out in Seattle.
There's definitely something to fit in coaching. Look, that 2020 draft, which I mentioned, Joe Burrow goes 1. Herbert is the 6th pick right after Tua.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so 3 quarterbacks in the top 6. But also in the first round was Jordan Love.
Right, number 20,
what was
I
the
believe.
Approach to Jordan Love? Sat a couple years. Okay, he had a Hall of Famer in mm-hmm. front of him. And then in the second round was Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
So that's 5 hits. 5 out of 5 quarterbacks hits. 2 of them drafted a little bit later. Jordan Love was a first rounder. Jalen Hurts was a second rounder. Jalen Hurts also sat behind Carson Wentz for a while.
Right. So what I'm saying,
and had as a system,
right,
which is advantageous to his game.
Right. So because I know all the narrative is, and we've said it ourselves collectively, that, you know, they're not all going to hit. You know, one of these two guys is likely to bust. But I think if you believe, and he's process-oriented, right? If you believe in your process and your structure and the staff that we have in place, I'm hopeful. I'm trying to be optimistic here that whoever they pick, and I'm torn on it, and thank God I don't have to make the choice, that they could be successful here. Because I believe in Kingsbury as an offensive mind. They obviously like Kavita, whatever.
Tavita Pritchard.
Tavita, they like him as a quarterback guy. Brian Johnson, very highly thought of offensive guy.
David Blau, the quarterback.
I mean, they have so much structure here in place that I feel like they can make – this is going to be a bright staff. They're going to – they can help whoever they pick reach their potential.
Coming up next, we'll play some more clips from the presser, including whether they would entertain trading down.
All right, guys, my guy Mike Walker over at BMW Fairfax is on a bit of a military kick these days. No, he's not enlisting, but he's insisting that we make sure as many of you as possible that qualify for the exceptional BMW military incentive take advantage of it. Active duty, National Guard, reserves, veterans, spouses, family members. The list goes on and on. You may very well be eligible and not even know it. Get over to BMW Fairfax. Get behind the wheel for thousands less thanks to BMW's amazing military incentives. Learn more at BMWFairfax.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know, as we play these clips, I was just thinking, you don't totally believe anything these guys are saying. We're going to play what he says about trading out of the pick.
No,
and he's not
him.
Definitive.
I believe him. When he said we feel great about being at number two, I actually believe him.
Well, let's play the clip. This is Adam Peters talking about the potential of trading back.
Yeah, I think with the optionality we have in all those picks, anything's in consideration. So, like we've said before, we're going to do whatever's best for this organization. So if that's moving up, if that's moving back, we'll do that. And lucky for us, we have the ability to do so with all the ammo we have.
He did mention moving up.
I don't think he means it too. I don't think he means moving up to one.
I don't think that was clip number three.
I think it could for any of the picks. I think it could be in play. I think it's highly doubtful they're moving up.
I don't think Chicago's going to be willing.
I just don't think it's Chicago.
Chicago seems
later.
Dead set on drafting Caleb Williams.
I think he's alluding to what you were talking about. 36 and 40 or some package like that.
Every GM should be open to at least listening to offers right up until you make your pick.
I agree.
Like, you should have an open mind as far as, like, if you're the Chicago Bears GM, is it Ryan Poles, I believe is his name? Like, he should be fielding calls for the number one pick right up until he makes it.
You should. But you got to be prepared in advance so that you don't make a panic, spur-of-the-moment decision.
Of course,
so
they've wargamed all of this.
Yeah, you got to wargame it all
out.
They've
wargamed every single scenario multiple times.
What would actually move me off this?
Right, totally.
Because I know, all I can relate it to is fantasy drafts. I panic and crumble at the moment.
You know why you panic?
Not prepared.
You don't run mocks. If you knew where you were picking and you ran a few mocks, you don't have to do 100 of them, run two or three before you did your draft, you'd feel much more at ease. But I know you're out of the fantasy game.
I'm out of the fantasy
so
game.
So it's all good.
I mean, you once showed up with a suit and like a briefcase.
I was prepared.
Yeah, that's optics.
I understand. Yeah.
We feel great about staying at number two. I don't see a whole lot of scenarios where we trade down, to be honest with you. Yeah, we feel great about sticking there.
So what that tells me is, and I believe him. Like, I mean, Jippy's right. At the end of the day, probably shouldn't believe anything, but I believe him there. I think he's being honest. There's very little incentive. I mean, I don't think, you know, whatever. They're not going to move up to one. I think that tells you that they love at least one of those guys. They at least love one of those guys. You're not going to take him at two if you don't love him.
Yeah, and correct. He says he hasn't made a decision. They're basically dotting the I's, crossing the T's.
But what if they love two of them?
What happened to everyone lies?
Everyone lies, but I believe that. I believe everyone lies. That doesn't mean but everyone lies
moment,
all
I think,
the time.
Yeah. In this moment, he sounds honest.
I think he's driving the price up.
So you think that there's a reasonable chance he'll trade out of that?
I think there's still a reasonable chance, and he's playing the game of
very possible.
And it depends on who's
driving the price up.
If the Vikings are just desperate, hell bent on getting Drake May at number two, they have to have him.
No, I think the Vikings are hell bent on getting Jaden Daniels. They just had a private workout with him.
Okay.
flew all the way to Baton Rouge, and I feel like if it's not their guy, if Daniels is not the Commander's guy,
right,
there's a possible chance that they trade out of it. And all they're doing now is trying to get more picks.
If I'm Peters possible. And the Vikings call me and say, we'll give you our two first rounders this year and at least one more first rounder in the next draft, I'm gonna at least listen to the offer.
And I'm just reading into what Peters is saying,
right,
about how he said we still need to do medical. And that really right. stuck. That really stuck out to me because out
yeah,
of
that's
the
f- normal.
No. But out of the four guys that they've hosted, who has the most medical concerns?
Penix.
So if they're driving up a price, and the Vikings love
but
Daniels,
doing the
and if
they're on all the guys,
I know they're doing it on all the guys. But if it's a huge hang up, and that's the only thing that they're really worried about with Penix,
yeah.
And Penix is their guy.
They love Penix. They do the deal with the Vikings. The Vikings come up and take Daniels at two. The Commanders are sitting at 13. I think that's where the Vikings pick.
Yeah.
He could easily move from 13, like, up a few spots if there's a quarterback he likes there. Or he could pick Penix at 13. Or he could pick Penix late in the first round.
I'm just trying to read between the lines and connect the dots.
Right. Yeah, I just think they're doing their due diligence. Can we play clip number 7? Because he's talking about how hard it is to evaluate quarterbacks.
Oh, wow. I don't know if we've improved at it. If you look at the 21 draft, right, which I was a part of in that one too, and that was you're seeing that it wasn't a ton of success at the top end of that draft based on so far. There's all those guys' stories are yet to be written. So it is hard, and it's really hard, but you try to learn from all those things that you as you go along. We've both been in this 20 plus years. We have a lot of experience, both good and bad. You probably learn a little bit more from your bad experiences and from your good experiences, but you try to bank all those experiences and everything you learn and help you make the best decision the next time. But just like anything, I think we talked about it, maybe it was at the combine, but it's a lot easier to evaluate a defensive end than it is a quarterback because it's, you know, there's so many other things that go into a quarterback than just what you see on the tape. And that's really the core of it is just there's so many different variables within a quarterback, what he has to do on the field each and every day and what he has to do every day in preparation to get there. I'm not minimizing defensive ends by any means. I was one. But it's a little more simple in terms of the evaluation process.
Has anyone asked him how much input he had in picking Trey Lance? Because that's the obvious follow-up question.
But
there,
he's not going to throw anybody under the bus. He's going to
say... he's part of it.
He was part of it.
Yeah.
So who knows?
I need to know like the blame pie, the Trey Lance blame pie. How many slices
well,
did Adam
Jason's
Peters
always
eat?
Always said that that was a lynch pick. That's what Jason has always
trust me. If I were Peters, I'd be trying to distance myself as much as I could from that pick.
Yeah.
Well, if Peters is his main advisor mm-hmm. as his assistant GM, he didn't stand on the table saying no enough.
Sure. Or maybe Lynch was just so convinced that Lance was the guy. Maybe he heard Now I'm just speculating here. He heard Peters and said, okay, I've heard your input. We're still picking Trey Lance. Right. I don't know.
We don't
These
know.
These are things I need to know.
We don't know. I saw a quote from Kyle Shanahan saying they were all on board with it.
Well, I mean, that's just going to be diplomacy at that point. That's what
people say.
Going to be interesting. We are less than a week away. We'll see what the Commanders do. That was Adam Peters talking about what they're looking for in a quarterback. At least right now, he says, doesn't look like they're trading back. They're going to settle on number two.
I'm willing to wager.
And they pretty much
these.
Have
they
their guy. Although he says the final decision hasn't been made, but they got to look at medicals. They got to do a couple other things. I think they know. Don't know if they picked him up at the airport or not. I think it's going to be Jaden Daniels. You think it's going to be Drake May?
I honestly don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised either way.
I would lean Drake May if that's what I think.
I'm rooting for chaos. I want there to be either trade up for Caleb Williams, trade out of number two for a big haul of picks. I want a curveball.
I want it to be the right guy. Right. That's what I want. We've been waiting our entire radio careers successful. For it to be the right guy.
We don't have to assume that one's going to bust.
Yeah.
Maybe they both hit.
Yeah.
It's possible.
That's what I said. Hopefully it's like the 2020 draft.
Yeah.
You know, and they just find a guy who's going to be the quarterback for 10 years. Give me that guy for 10 years.
That would be nice. Stability. Quarterback stability.
It's going to be hard to pass up on Jaden Daniels' electricity. That's going to be hard to pass on.
That's why I'm kind of leaning towards him. You get that immediate running results at a minimum. All right, coming up next, it is Fridays with Feinstein here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.